Hey, this is Stacy and Megan. Welcome to this week's What We're Cooking and Eating Now.
It's got an end of May energy to it, Billis.
All right, you guys, these episodes are bite-sized digests of what we're actually cooking at home, what we're feeding our kids, our family, ourselves right now in this very hectic moment, as you can tell by the fact that I couldn't even get through our intro.
I shouldn't laugh so hard about this. Listen, we share six meal ideas, which you can turn into your own meal plan for next week. We collect all the links and put them in our free community where you can also get even more dinner inspo and ideas from our weekly meal planning thread.
Check out both the free discussion board to get this week's links and more details about our supporting membership. All at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community.
All right, Stacey, we kind of alluded to it already.
Can you feel the crazy energy?
Okay, May has had like a super intense start for you. My May is like wrapping up. School is finished this week. But like
that's
not as intense as taking Oliver to the ER with a basketball injury. So, like, what is the second half of May looking like for you? And how are you feeding your family right now?
Okay. Watching your kid get a broken nose is intense, like, for itself. And then it took me, like, a whole day to recover because I kept myself together the whole time because I didn't want him to be scared. Like, there was a lot of blood. He's totally fine, you guys. He's totally, totally fine. He has a fractured nose, but he's going to be A-okay, and he's not in pain. And that's the most important thing. So that's why I can make light of it. But that day, like, he was very freaked out, and I held myself together. And then it took, like, a whole 24 hours to decompress. And also, in that time, like, Sunday is when it happened. Monday is the day I like was feeling crazy. That was my meal planning. That's when I was going to go food shopping. That's why. So like, it ends up setting the whole week off. And then I didn't get groceries until Wednesday afternoon, which then kind of messes up the following week. So it really does have this ripple effect. And then there's this other unexpected thing, which is that he's out for the season and he can't play PE. It's the last month of school for us. And to send a 13-year-old to school, they are already toast, done, over it. And to tell them that they can't participate in any physical activity. And then, like, your friends are all going to practice after school and you just have to come home on the bus. And then you're home from 4 o'clock every day.
Yeah, and he's a super active kid anyways. So, like,
it sucks.
Not good.
It sucks for him. It kind of sucks for me. It sucks for him more, obviously. And, like, just a lot of snacks, a lot of, like, kind of moping and then, like, wanting to play video games. And so it's just been a lot of adjustment, and that's kind of reflected in my meal plan.
Wait, can I ask a question? Is cooking off limits? This is that's a physical activity, but like, is that something he could be doing with all that energy?
He can do anything that just doesn't have a ball that could fly into his face. Like, that's what we're avoiding.
That's not 100% not a possibility while cooking.
Well, it's funny because he is such an active kid that like at home we've had a couple of times where he's like, not really horsing around, but like, Oliver, oh my
God. Like, bro, you're not supposed to be doing that. What the heck?
Like, you just almost like swung your face into my knee. Like, please chill. So I think that I'd probably be relying on semi homemade meals this month anyway, because of all the like evening plans and all the normal end of school year stuff. My energy, like him being home, also like me trying to spend a little more time with him, but then like still having work to do. It's like a scattered time. So two of the three things that I cooked this week don't actually have a recipe. They were kind of like cobbled together meals.
Okay, but we love that and we want to know what they are anyways.
Okay. So the first thing is a recipe But for me, I don't have to follow a recipe because it's from my cookbook, Winner Winner Chicken Dinner. It's my own sheet pan fajitas. It's a favorite. I've also been trying to make all of her favorites.
Oh, yeah. That's very sweet.
To like cheer him up, right?
Yes.
So I'll walk you through this one. I have a link to it. I would prefer that you buy my book. Winner Chicken Dinner.
No. I have to
We'll include
you.
A link.
Yes.
What? What? What do you have to tell me?
Winner Winner Chicken Dinner us, and then I'll tell you the news.
So I'll put a no, I need to know. I'll put a link for the book. That's it.
Yes. Okay. Winner Winner Chicken Dinner is such a good book. I also made sheet pan chicken fajitas this week. I own two copies of Winner Winner Chicken Dinner. And I did not use your recipe. Please forgive me. Please forgive me.
Listen, it's that kind of month, Megan.
It just is. Okay. I was like, I need a quick reference. What can I look up on my phone? And I didn't know there was a link to it. I should have Googled. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I, you know what?
Walk us through your recipe. You.
Let's do it.
Okay.
My recipe is really simple and I think really flavorful. And I hadn't made it in a long time and Oliver was like, this is so good. I forgot. So preheat the oven to 400. In a bowl, you're going to just combine chili powder, garlic powder, salt, cumin. And I make enough to coat the vegetables and the chicken, but I take a little small bowl and I make one big like mix, seasoning mix. Then I, into the another larger mixing bowl, I combine bell peppers, onion, a little bit of oil, and then about half of the spice mixture. Toss to coat well, dump all that stuff onto a sheet pan. Then in that same bowl that I've now emptied, the one that had the bell peppers and the onions, I add chicken tenders. You know, sometimes I buy chicken breast and cut it up myself. It's the kind of month where I spent extra money and just got like the chicken tenders, the already cut ones. You know, I feel obligated to say this, even though the timing is completely wrong, but I am an advocate for, we talk about this in an episode we did just about like chicken, how to cook chicken so that it tastes great. It's an episode we did, gosh, a couple of years ago when the book first came out. But the more processed the chicken, and by processed, I just mean like cut up, like a thin cutlet versus a chicken breast. That's processed because in the processing plant, they cut the breast into thin cutlets, the more expensive the chicken gets. And it's actually so, so easy to take a chicken breast and make it a thin cutlet or to turn it into a tender. So if you're trying to save money, buy the whole breasts and figure it out yourself. It takes an extra 2 minutes. And if you're really, really ambitious, I often talk about buying a whole chicken and bringing it down yourself. You're going to save a lot of money in the long run when you do that, but only when you have time and energy. But when you do have the time and energy, if you feel curious about this, but you don't really know how, in Winner Winner Chicken Dinner, I give step-by-step instructions. We've actually had people in our community say like, oh my God, I followed it. I followed your direction, Stacey. And it was so much easier than I thought. Okay. But this is a bare minimum month, right? So I bought the chicken tenders. You add them to the bowl. You add another tablespoon of oil. You add the remaining spice mixture. You toss it up. And then you nestle the chicken tenders onto the sheet pan with the veggies. You put them in the oven and you cook for about 12 minutes. I like to then transfer them to the broiler for about 5 minutes so that some of the veggies get charred in spots and some of the chicken, you know, in the corners gets a little bit crispy. That's it. While the sheet pan is in the oven, I call for making a lime. I call it crema, but, you know, if it's sour cream, you're actually making lime sour cream. Crema is a little bit different. Either ingredient you can use. And you're just literally mixing either crema or sour cream with a little bit of lime juice, a little bit of salt. That's it. You can put a little bit of lime zest in there too. And then warm the tortillas. And it's just tortillas, the lime, sour cream, or crema, and then the chicken and veggies that you have in your sheet pan, and dinner is done.
And it's like literally from opening the fridge to eating less than 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question. This might be an interesting poll for our community too. How do you like to warm up your tortillas?
When I'm doing the sheet pan tortillas, I wrap them in aluminum foil and put them in the oven while the chicken is cooking.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite techniques. But I also grew up with one of those like microwave, like it's almost like a styrofoam little or like plastic container with a lid where you like put them in and you microwave them in that so they stay warm.
Oh,
I don't own one of those as an adult. And then sometimes if we're like making, obviously not sheet pan fajitas, but like we're grilling, I like a toasted tortilla.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, what else did you cook this week? I want to hear about these like semi-homemade recipes.
I will say sheet pan fajitas, that has the veggie there, but I also made a little like quick Cheater's guacamole.
Love.
Like just super quick, like not even chopping the tomatoes. It's like avocado, a little cilantro, which I like to cut up to top my fajitas, and lime juice.
Yeah.
Okay. Meatball parm subs, sandwiches subs. I had, we talk about it in our subscriber episode on our favorite Trader Joe's products. Mm-hmm. Really into these chicken meatballs. They're fresh packed from Trader Joe's. I like them because they're neutral. Like they don't have a lot of oregano, or they're just not flavored, which a lot of packaged meatballs are, chicken meatballs at least. They're just really nice and neutral. Literally a jar of Rao's, which is my personal favorite. You can use any jar tomato sauce. I put olive oil in the pan. I browned the meatballs. They're already cooked, but I like to get them a little crispy. Takes 3 minutes. Then I dump the jar of sauce and let them kind of simmer for a little while to soften and heat through. And in the meantime, I toasted up some subs, cut them in half, sliced mozzarella cheese. And then I put them all in a broiler. Like I opened the bread, I put the meatballs, a little bit of sauce, sliced mozz, put it in the broiler so that the mozzarella can melt. I also roasted cauliflower, but that was it.
Yum. I do that meal a lot. And sometimes homemade meatballs, sometimes frozen meatballs, sometimes the pre-cooked ones. And we tend to do like either broccoli or green beans.
Nice.
And same thing in the oven. Okay. One more from you, Billis.
Beef enchiladas. And I had a random side. I had so many mini cucumbers that I just tossed. I made like a cucumber avocado salad.
Okay, yeah.
Literally like, let's use up what's here with a little bit of like salt, lime juice, olive oil. I put a little sumac on it. I don't know why. Like it was random. But the beef enchiladas, I normally make, when I make enchiladas, I almost always make sweet potato black bean enchiladas. And the boys were like, please, can we have beef enchiladas? So I got ground beef. I mean, this is like real. It actually didn't even come out that good. I was like a little bit disappointed, but the kids loved it. And it was great. Like it was a happy meal. Like 2 cans of enchilada sauce, big flour tortillas. I like just browned the ground meat with like taco seasoning. I added a little bit of enchilada sauce to the meat too to make it a little bit moist, mixed in some cheese, and that was it.
I feel like this is a little bit funny on many levels because one, when Ella asks for beef enchiladas or when she asks for enchiladas in general, that's exactly what she wants. There's something about it that's so comforting. I know in previous What We're Cooking and Eating Now, I've shared how I like tried to make chicken ones one night and she was like, nope. No, this is not it. But there was an episode, now I can't remember where it was, where I was like, oh, sometimes I do buy the like taco kit. And you were like, but why? Like, it's not going to be as good. And I feel like they actually make an enchilada kit that is exactly what you just described.
Probably, totally.
No shame in your semi-homemade game.
I didn't. So taco seasoning, Jacobson salt is my favorite. I think I used one from Trader Joe's because I think I was at Trader Joe's when I decided I was going to make the enchiladas. Yeah. But like, it's funny because when you make this for Ella, do you like, aren't you like, isn't it like, it's good, guys. It's totally tasty. It's serviceable. Edible. I like it.
It really is not anything special. I will say I tend to make sure that we have like avocado, crema. I'll do like a crema lime situation. I like cut up lettuce and tomatoes or like fresh pico de gallo. So like they are eating theirs like pretty basic. Maybe they're having a side of avocado, like plain salted avocado. And then I like all the things on mine. And I think that makes it like enjoyable to me.
Yeah, I put the things in mine and it's not, I think it's the enchilada sauce.
Yeah, it's not super dynamic from a can.
Yeah.
But I bet there's something there. Like there's probably ways you could have jazzed up the can to get it closer to when you make homemade sauce. enchilada sauce.
I know, but then I'm always like, if I'm doing this.
Yeah, the point is I'm trying to make it easy.
Then I could just make it and it'd probably be cheaper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I start with just like a can of plain tomato sauce and some spices that I already have. Anyway, it was fine. It made the kids happy. We're making it through.
Check.
That's
check,
the theme. Check.
Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part? All Quince items from silk to 14 karat gold are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacey and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like an early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply. We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother, too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you, too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up, and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today.
What boxes did you check?
What boxes did I check? Well, it's a weird week because it's the last week of school. So I'm somewhere in between. And like Ella had one day of school and then her like graduation promotion ceremony. But then she's done. And then Emmett had two more days of school. So it's just like a really weird time of year. And I can't decide, like, am I all in on summer? Is it still feel like a school year? I did make sheet pan fajitas, so I won't mention. We'll link to Stacy's recipe only. And then,
wait, but was it good?
Yeah, it was
and
really
what was
good.
Different?
Okay, this is where I admit that, like, I looked at a recipe for, like, amount references and, like, cooking temperature, but then just, like, totally did my own thing. Like, instead of dirtying any bowls, I built everything on the sheet pan, like, peppers and onions, put those on there, season them with, like, garlic and onion powder and paprika, and then, like, cut up the chicken. I used chicken breast and just, like, thinly sliced it and put that on top, and then also season that. There was a little bit of oregano, which you didn't mention, which was very delightful, and then just did, like, olive oil and lime, and finished it with lime juice, which was actually really delicious. Like, you cook it, same sort of thing, just a few minutes at 400, and then you put it under the broiler so it gets, like, golden brownish. Yep. I mean, that's what I did. I actually don't even know if that's what the recipe called for, because I just did it. But the lime juice was called for in the recipe, and I was like, oh, I like that. And it speaks to what we talk about a lot, is, like, sometimes you need something to be finished with just, like, a little bit of acid, and it was so good. Okay. I am hot for grilled chicken club sandwiches. This is now the second time that we've made them for my family. And, like, it's also literally just chicken breast. I butterfly it, sort of like when you're talking about the cutlets, so that they're thinner. And then I just, like, really – oh, I use ranch seasoning to season them this time.
Okay.
But sometimes I do, like, just salt and pepper and garlic powder. And then really quickly grill them. Cook bacon, usually also on the grill because that's easy. And then just make, like, brioche bun sandwiches with the chicken, lettuce, tomato, bacon. We did cheddar cheese this time. Sometimes I'll make, like, special mayo. This time I did ranch on top. And I did oven fries alongside them. Next time I would probably have done air fryer potato wedges, because it's actually too hot for me to have my oven on for the length of time it takes to do, like, oven fries properly. And that was a win. My whole family eats that. I will say there's something funny, and I was thinking about this with the meatball subs too, where, like, my kids don't always love a composed sandwich. So I find myself a lot of times doing, like, the chicken and the pieces, like, and the bacon, like, on the side. And then the bread is, like, next to it. And they, like, eat the bread and then eat the thing separately. And then I'm like,
totally.
Are they really eating the meal? Like, what are they just having, like, chicken with special bread?
Special bread's our new thing. It's our new cheese me. Who cares?
Yeah. If they eat it, it doesn't matter.
Like, philosophically, you're just curious.
Yeah, I think so. And, like, what is the is that a sandwich? Are they still eating the same meal as me? And also, no. Like, when does that end? When do they start?
Yeah, the when does it end is a different, like, is a, like, in a different category. Yeah. But I think from a food philosophy point of view, that is very interesting. I don't think they're eating the same meal. It tastes different.
It's different, right? Like, yeah, you don't have the mayo or mustard and, like,
totally.
Ranch and stuff. Totally. Even if it's on the side, totally different meal. Okay.
Yeah. But when does it end? I don't know.
I don't know. My kids just started, like, eating, like, being fully in on, like, burritos in the last year or so. Before, it would be, like, a little more deconstructed for them. But now they're like, oh, I get it. I want all the things in it. So I feel like they should make the jump to sandwiches soon.
They will. They will.
Okay.
It's funny. Oliver still, like, when he gets a burrito from Chipotle, it's, like, part of his process. You know how, like, people have a process for Oreos or Reese's peanut butter cups, right? It's like a ritual. Part of his ritual is he sits down, he unwraps it. He completely unwraps the tortilla, flattens it out, eats everything that's inside, is happy to
so
that
he's
it's
not
mixed
eating a
up.
Burrito.
No. He just eats it with
it's
a fork.
It's not a burrito.
But he literally said the other day, these burritos are so much better than the burrito bowls. Like, I don't really
I cannot even.
You're kind
I can't.
Of eating a burrito bowl with a tortilla on the side. But then he was very proud and he's like, and it's less expensive too. I'm saving you money. And I was like, actually, it is less expensive.
Is
and
it?
And his point, yeah. His point is he thinks that the cardboard of the bowl is what costs more. He's like, I'm saving you big. They just wrapped this in aluminum foil.
That's so interesting.
Isn't it? Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. Like, it's part of his ritual. Like, I don't think of him as a selective eater. Like, and he's eating all the filling mixed up. It's not like he wants it separate. He just loves all forms of bread and carbs so much. So like he just takes such joy in the end, like tearing up that tortilla and just eating it on its own.
Okay, but he's not eating a burrito. No, he's not. Stand by this. Okay.
All right. Let's go. What else? What else?
Shout out to nachos. We had nachos one night this week, which was a really nice, like, I had made a little black bean and corn salad when I made the cheap ham fajitas, and I needed to use that up, and we had some ground pork that had been cooked for something else, and so we did, like, a build-your-own nachos night. But we probably won't link to a recipe, although now I'm like, why did we not have a Didn't I Just Feed You Ultimate Guide to Nachos, even though we have the episode about how to make them into legit dinner. So maybe we'll share that. And then because we both talked about cheap pan fajitas, I feel like it's not fair. I feel like I should share another recipe. So what I have planned tonight is I've been working on a cast iron skillet pizza for our recipe archive, and I'm going to try it tonight in a sheet pan to see if we can do like a bigger version, because the skillet is really nice, but I feel like it might not be enough to feed older kids.
Totally.
Like it's enough for me and the two kids to do like a 12-inch pizza, even though it's like a thicker crust, but I don't think it would be enough for your guys. So I want to see if we can do it as a sheet pan pizza, maybe instead, or maybe as like an additional instruction in that recipe. So I will report back in the community when that's live and and report how it went. So speaking of our lovely community, did you know that you can get recipe links for each of these What We're Cooking and Eating Now episodes by visiting our free community? If you haven't joined us there already, why not?
Do it.
Join us for free at dinitisvgu.com/community. There you can find out more about bonus episodes, our recipe archive, and joining our supporting community as well.
Follow us on Instagram, where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatsick. We love you, Sam. I'm Stacy.
And I'm Megan. Stay sane and well fed. Until next time, friends.